Why We Sleep. This is the Daily Podcast from Slate.com for Tuesday, March 27th. I'm Andy Bowers. All this week in Slate Online, we're running a series about research into one of the most fundamental questions of human biology. Why do we need to sleep? That may seem like a no-brainer, but there's actually a raging scientific debate about why evolution favored slumberers. Joining me to talk about what we know and what we don't is the author of the series, Amanda Schaefer. She's a science and medical columnist for the magazine, and she's making her first appearance on the podcast. Welcome, Amanda.
Thanks, Andy.
So the first question I have, when I've been describing your series, which is absolutely fascinating to friends of mine, I say that it's about why it is human beings need to sleep. And the response I keep getting is, well, we need to sleep because we need to rest. But it's not quite as simple as that, is it? Or is it?
No. Well, I guess part of the question would be what it means to rest, or even what it means to feel tired, and therefore what sleep is actually doing for the brain. There's really, it's sort of amazing, but there really is no scientific consensus on why we actually need to sleep or what sleep is doing for us on a brain level.
So your article tends to focus on what's going on in the brain. I mean, the first thing I would have thought of was just the muscles, that they need a chance to be inactive. But a lot of, especially the first part of your series, talks about what's going on in the brain or what scientists think might be going on in the brain. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, one of the most prominent theories is that what sleep's function is really to boost memory and learning. And I spoke with a cognitive neuroscientist at Harvard, a guy named Robert Stickgold, who's a big proponent of this theory. And his idea is that sleep is when the brain can evaluate recently learned information and sort of decide what to do with it. So new things that we've learned, either memories or skills that we've acquired, can be enhanced or stabilized in the course of sleeping and possibly moved to different parts of the brain as well. So there's this sort of information processing and shuffling that goes on that can make us better at doing various tasks.
You write about some tests that people were given where they would try this difficult task one time, and then they would try it again, some after getting a proper amount of sleep and some while not getting enough sleep. Tell us more about that.
Sure. Well, there actually have been a huge range of studies of this kind. One of the most famous, done by Dr. Stickgold at Harvard, in 2000, he tested how quickly subjects could identify the orientation of diagonal bars against a background of horizontal ones. So it was a task involving identifying visual patterns. And people who learned the task and then were tested again later in the day didn't really improve much, but people who learned the task and then slept could do this much faster later on the next day.
So the next day. So the idea is that sleep is somehow helping your brain figure out how to do this particular task?
Exactly. There's something about the information or even the memory of performing the task or learning the skill that gets restructured or improved. People don't really know what's going on there, but the behavioral evidence is that then the next day, people who are retested on these tasks are able to do better.
And of course, one of the basic questions that has to be answered here is why would evolution favor creatures who sleep? Because as you point out in one article, it's not exactly the best thing to do if you're out in the African veldt and you are susceptible. You're not moving. You're not aware of potential hunters out there. So there must be a pretty good reason that we have to do this.
Exactly. The major assumption is that sleep is dangerous. It's maladaptive from an evolutionary point of view, that when you're sleeping, you are much more vulnerable to predators, and you can't do all the useful things like procreate or find food that creatures are supposed to do during waking. So Stickgold actually argues that the different stages of sleep may have been selected for specifically because they can facilitate these different memory tasks. In other words, that the memory function is vital enough that it could help to explain the evolution of sleep.
But there are some dissenting views here, as you write about in Tuesday's article, specifically about how different creatures sleep at different times and in different ways, and that Stickgold's view may not be the only answer.
Exactly. There's a guy named Jerry Siegel at UCLA who's been the most prominent dissenter. And he's really spent a lot of time looking at comparisons across different species and pointing out that species sleep in very different ways. And his main idea is that sleep evolved very much to help different species adapt to their ecological niches. In other words, helped to make them better at finding food when they needed to find food, or doing all the different finding shelter, that kind of thing.
So give us some examples there. You talk about bats and dolphins.
Right. So he points out, for instance, that bats spend a huge amount of time sleeping, you know, close to 20 hours a day. And this makes a lot of sense for them because they eat flies that come out at dusk. And so they really need to only be out eating these flies right at dusk. And the rest of the time, he says, they're better off sleeping. They're safer. They're tucked away in caves. And it's actually better for them in the long run in terms of their survival not to spend as much time awake. And then in terms of dolphins, dolphins are on the other end of the spectrum, especially when we're talking about newborn dolphins. Baby dolphins get very little or even no consolidated sleep early in their lives. And this may have to do with their particular challenges because they're out on the open ocean learning to survive, learning to breathe, and they really don't have anywhere good to retreat to. So the argument is that they don't have anywhere good to go back to, so they really have to have figured out a way to do without much sleep at that point in their lives.
Throughout all this research you did on this, have you come up with any conclusions about how much sleep we're getting these days and whether it's enough?
Well, that's a great question. It seems that we do need the typical 8 hours of sleep, maybe 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep. I think there's a fair amount of variety among different people. But what is clear is that whatever the amount of sleep is that you need, if you do without it, you may be compromising all of these various functions.
So you may not be imprinting the proper memories, or at one point you actually talk about how it may be that we just take in too much throughout the day, and that may be, in fact, what makes us tired, not so much physical tiredness as our brains are too full. Am I oversimplifying that?
No, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. One of the most interesting theories, and it's a theory that doesn't have too much direct evidence behind it yet, but it's incredibly compelling, I think. But the idea is that our brains sort of get saturated in the course of the day, that what we're mostly doing when we see things, hear things, read things, taste things, is make or strengthen new brain connections between neurons in the brain, and that by the end of the day, we're really maxing out in a very literal, physical way. Our brains are actually potentially becoming crowded. And so according to this hypothesis, what we're doing in sleep may be to downscale all of these connections and make room for the brain to learn more things the next day.
Wow, that makes me tired just thinking about it.
There's definitely, working on this piece has definitely made me appreciate a good night's sleep, and I think I appreciated a good night's sleep to begin with, too.
Well, from what you write, it sounds like there's a lot of interesting research on sleep going on now. But I wonder, finally, why it is we don't know more about sleep already. It seems like such an obvious thing that would have been studied for decades and decades. Why don't we know more about it?
It's a great question. The REM sleep was discovered in...
That's rapid eye movement.
Rapid eye movement sleep was discovered in 1951, and that really kicked off the modern era of sleep research. And you're right to imagine that a lot of discoveries would have been made since that time. And it is true, a lot of things have been discovered since then. For instance, researchers have really mapped the different stages and cycles of sleep, sort of mapped the division of sleep into REM and non-REM stages. And there's been a tremendous amount of work on clinical disorders like sleep apnea and narcolepsy. There have been a lot of studies related to the brain mechanisms of sleep. But for some reason, the core question of why we even need to do this in the first place has really somehow slipped through. It is surprising.
Well, thank you for summing up what we do know and what we have yet to learn. Amanda Schaefer, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
And you can read her 5-part series in Slate all week, and it will be there forevermore, of course, whenever you want to go back and find it. For Slate.com, I'm Andy Bowers.